You please turn in your Bibles to 3 John. So if you have the book of 3 John, we'll go ahead and read the entire epistle since it's only about 14 verses. And then we'll go through it verse by verse as we consider some examples tonight. 3 John. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. For I was very glad when the brethren came and bore witness to your truth, that is how you are walking in truth. I have no greater joy than this to hear of my children walking in truth. Beloved, you are acting faithfully in whatever you accomplish for the brethren, especially when they are strangers. And they bear witness to your love before the church, and you will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. For they went out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore we ought to support such men, that we might be fellow workers with the truth. I wrote something to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first among them, does not accept what we say. For this reason, if I come, I will call attention to his deeds, which he does, unjustly accusing us with wicked words and not satisfied with this. Neither does he himself receive the brethren, and he forbids those who desire to do so and puts them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. The one who does good is of God, and the one who does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself, and we also bear witness, and you know that our witness is true. I had many things to write to you, but I am not willing to write them to you with pen and ink. And I hope to see you shortly, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. We want to consider tonight four examples, three of which we should accept or adopt in our Christian life, and one example we should avoid in our Christian life. Now, as we examine the epistle of 3 John, we will see these four examples and how we should put those to practice in our life. As we examine 3 John, we'll consider three things: the salutation, the exhortation, and the conclusion. Now, normally I leave these all blank for you to fill in. I had mercy on you tonight and filled them in for you, and even left on some of the notes here for you that I will use tonight so that you don't have to be scribbling the whole time. So, First, we'll go back and reread each section as we cover them. First is the salutation, which is found in verse 1. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. So we note, first of all, in the salutation, the writer and the reader. Who wrote the book and to whom it was written? We see that the writer is the elder, and the early churches in the first century affirm that this is the Apostle John, who referred to himself as the elder, not speaking necessarily of age, but his position as not only apostle, but an elder in the church. And then the reader, who was he writing to? It was Gaius. And he describes Gaius as beloved, the beloved. So he's beloved not only to God because his faith in Christ, but he's also beloved or dear to the Apostle John because he's a close, not he's more than acquaintance, a close friend, a follower of Christ, and had a relationship with Gaius. And then he is loved, whom I love in the truth. The idea that in the truth, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And also to his prayer to his Father. In John 17, he said, sanctify them with your word. Your word is truth. So John is expressing that he loves, and this is agape love, it's a decision of the will to seek the highest good of the person loved, that he loves Gaius. Going on to the exhortation, we're going to see three individuals that John speaks concerning. Now, it's too bad that Gaius didn't start with a D. We'd have all three Ds there. But we're not going to force the issue here and call him Dias or something like that. We'll consider Gaius first, and John speaks about him in verses 2 through 8. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. For I was very glad when the brethren came and bore witness to your truth. That is how you are walking in truth. I have no greater joy than this to hear of my children walking in the truth. Beloved, you are acting faithfully in whatever you accomplish for the brethren, especially when they are strangers. They bear witness to your love before the church, and you will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. For they went out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support such men that we may be fellow workers with them. So we see, first of all, as John talks about Gaius, that John offers up prayers for Gaius. He prays that Gaius will prosper as his soul prospers. The idea of prosper has the meaning of is a compound word meaning good or well, and road or journey, so good journey. So he's hoping that in all respects, in every aspect of Gaius's life, that he would prosper just as his soul prospers. Not only does Gaius prosper spiritually, but he prospers in every aspect of his life. Then he also prays that Gaius will be healthy and be in good health just as your soul prospers. And so he's concerned about his physical well-being as well as his spiritual well-being. And the word for good health here is, we get our English word hygiene. So in concern of physical well-being, John is praying that he be healthy. And he's not part of the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel, but he is concerned about his physical well-being as well as his spiritual well-being. Then John goes on to praise Gaius for two things. First of all, he is glad Gaius is walking in the truth. The idea of walking here is used throughout the New Testament to speak about our daily manner of life, our conduct, and that he was glad that Gaius's manner of life or conduct was in the truth. He was walking according to Scripture, according to what God desires. There was no dichotomy between his profession and his practice. So we see that Gaius was a faithful believer and walking in a way that was pleasing to God. And the reason we know that is that the brethren testified of that. The brethren, John does not enumerate, but the brethren who had been with Gaius and had come to John and his church testify that Gaius is faithfully walking in a way that was pleasing to God. And because in this testimony is the word that we get our word martyr from, it means witness. They testified or bore witness that Gaius was walking in the truth. And then John expresses that he rejoiced that Gaius was walking in the truth. And he says, I rejoice when my children walk in the truth. So he has either Gaius was a convert of John's, or at least he was in the same church that John had ministered in. So John expressed the fact that he was very happy, he rejoiced, because Gaius was faithful in his walk. And then second thing that he praised John praised Gaius for was that he was providing for the brethren. Again, he doesn't say who these brethren were, but they were faithful servants that had gone out for the name or for Christ and was ministering in churches. And Gaius, when they had come, had provided for them materially so that they could continue on in their ministry. And they testified to the fact that Gaius had done this. And John says, you did very well to provide for the brethren, that you were continually practicing the truth, walking in the truth, when you provided for the needs, the physical, financial needs of these brothers who were going out and teaching among the churches. And John expressed that they were serving Jesus, that is, on behalf of the name. They went out on a mission, and they fulfilled that mission. They were going from church to church, teaching the truth and edifying those that they met and were encountered in the various opportunities of ministry that they had. So we have our first example here of that of Gaius. We can follow his example in walking in the truth, and then also for providing for ministers, whether they're missionaries or pastor elders, those that were serving Christ, that those are things that we can follow. And then he goes on, John's prescription for Gaius in verse 8, that we should or ought to support these men. It has an idea of a moral obligation to do that. And if we do that, we are uplifting, we're coming underneath and lifting up and helping them, underwriting them to be able to fulfill their ministry. And when we do that, when Gaius did that, he would be a fellow elder or fellow worker with them, work together with them, the fellow worker or companion in the work. So even though he wasn't joining them and going from church to church, because he was supporting them financially, that he would be considered a fellow worker with them in that ministry. So that's the first example that we see. The second is found in verses 9 through 11, and that's concerning Diotrephes, and we'll reread that section as well before we consider this individual. I wrote something to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first among them, does not accept what we say. For this reason, if I come, I will call attention to his deeds, which he does, unjustly accusing us with wicked words. Not satisfied with this, neither does he himself receive the brethren and forbids those who desire to do so and puts them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. The one who does good is of God. The one who does evil is not seen of God. And John makes three statements concerning Diotrephes, three things that he wants Gaius to know and for us to know. First, he gives the description of Diotrephes, what he's like, his attitude and action. He then brings a denouncement of Diotrephes. And then he also gives direction to Gaius and concerning Diotrephes, how he should respond to him. And we go back and see that in regard to the attitude of Diotrephes, is John said he is one who loves to be first among them. And the idea is a compound word, phileo, which has a strong affection for, and first. So he desires to be first. He wants to be up charge. He wants to be controlling all things within his church. Basically, he's a dictator. And that's what his whole desire is, his attitude is. And then it's manifested in his action. He would not receive these brethren who are faithfully ministering to the word. He did not want to have anything to do with them, nor did he want his church to have anything to do with them. So Hospitality is a big thing in the New Testament, that he was not willing to receive. Hospitality is one of the requirements for a pastor elder that's given in Third Timothy chapter 3. And yet he was not very hospitable, especially to ministers of the gospel. Then John brings a denouncement of Diotrephes. He said, I will remember, or I will bring attention to. The idea is that if he comes to this area, he will publicly rebuke Diotrephes for what he is doing. And then he lists four charges of what he was doing in the church. First, he accuses us with wicked words, that he did not accept what the apostle was saying. And it's pretty sad when you wouldn't obey the apostles of the church, the founding fathers, which Christ said are the foundation of the church. But he did not accept John's words and spoke wickedly of John and those ministering with him. And then not only did he speak about John with wicked words, he would not receive the brethren. He was not hospitable to them. And then he would go beyond that, and he would forbid those who desired to receive them, recognize that they were ministers of the gospel, and would refuse them to help them. And if the individuals saw that that was not right, and we'd go ahead and help them, he threw them out of the church, put them out of the church, literally cast out or throw out these who would desire to receive them. So literally, it would be a word that would be used to throw something out of your house or throw something into the garbage. Well, he was willing to throw these individuals out of the church assembly because they want to do what was right. And then he goes on, John gives Gaius direction concerning Diotrephes. The requirement he gives is that you do not imitate what is evil. You do not imitate Diotrephes, but you imitate what is good. The word imitate there is our English word we get mimic from. And I see a number of us here might be old enough to remember the I Love Lucy show several decades ago. I know there's a few young people may not even know who Lucy is. But anyway, one episode, she and one of the Marx brothers, I think it was probably Harpo, did a little scene in which they were both dressed up as basically clowns. And they did a mime scene in which Lucy tried to do everything that I think it was Harpo did. And then finally, he did something and she did the wrong thing. But for some of you younger people that aren't familiar with I Love Lucy, we know that children love to imitate their parents, usually sons their dads, girls their moms. And they usually do that in the most inconvenient place, like at church or in the grocery store. They will say or do something that mom did at home that we would not assume that they do in public. And there are those even younger athletes, youth athletes, like to imitate their favorite professional athlete, whether it's basketball, dribble like them, shoot like them, pass like them, or baseball, pitch like them, volleyball, whatever sport that they see that they've seen, they try to imitate that style. Well, we are not to imitate what is bad, but what is good. What is evil. We're not to be imitating Diotrephes in our interaction with others. We are not to speak to others, especially those in leadership, with wicked words. We are not to refuse to interact with believers and reject them and forbid others to interact with them and not disfellowship with them if they do. So we are not to imitate what is evil, but imitate what is good. And then John gives the reason to Gaius why this should be. It says, the one who does good is of God. The one who does evil has not seen God. It indicates their spiritual relationship with God. So we see the second example, the one that we should avoid, and that is Diotrephes. And we've seen some of the things that we should not do, that he was doing with our words and not receiving and interacting with other believers, encouraging others to do the same. And then if they don't, not to have anything to do with them because they did interact well with those Christian people. And then the third example we'll see is in Demetrius, which we John shares with us in verse 12. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone, from the truth itself, and we also bear witness, and you know that our witness is true. So we see that Demetrius received a commendation from John, that he had received a testimony or a witness. Again, the word witness here means martyr. We get our word martyr, English word martyr. And that this testimony was from everyone. Everyone that interacted with Demetrius said that he had a good testimony, he had a good walk. And from the truth itself, his life bore witness to the fact that he had a good testimony, that he was walking well. And then John said we add our testimony, that John the apostle had seen and bear witness that Demetrius does walk in a manner worthy of God. And then he confirms that witness. You know that our witness is true. So we can believe John when he says that Demetrius is walking well, walking in truth, and should be supported. He should be one that we imitate, not Diotrephes. And then he comes to a conclusion in verses 13 and 14. I had many things to write to you, but I am not willing to write them to you with pen and ink. But I hope to see you shortly, and we shall speak face to face. Peace to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. So we see that the purpose that John had was he had planned to talk to him, write to him, many things beyond what was here that we have in Scripture. But he chose not to and said, I'd rather talk to you face to face than in a letter. So he was hoping to see him soon and to speak to him face to face and go over these things that he wanted to go over with him. And then he finishes with a greeting of peace to him. He desired that Gaius would have peace in his life. And then encouraged, relayed that the friends that were with John were greeting Gaius, and that he should greet the friends around him on behalf of John and the friends that John was writing on behalf. And so the fourth example we see is John himself throughout the letter, and I saved that for last, and I really don't have that written out separately. But John proclaimed his love to Gaius, and John prayed for Gaius, and John praised Gaius for what he was doing right. And John pronounced an indictment against Diotrephes for doing what was wrong. And then he promotes Demetrius because he had a good testimony. And then he expresses a desire to meet and to fellowship with Gaius and speak to him of many other things that he did not include in this letter. So we should follow the examples of Gaius and Demetrius and John, and avoid the example of Diotrephes in our Christian walk. Now, there are many applications that we could take from these verses. First of all, and that's on the left column here, if you can read that, some say that they need a microfine class to be able to read my writing, my printing. Hopefully you don't. But these were for me as a reminder to share with those that I had taught this lesson several years ago. But do we are we beloved by others? Do others consider us dear because of our relationship to Christ and our relationship to them? Do we consider other believers beloved or dear to us? Do we love other believers in truth, not in pretense, but in truth, that we will seek their highest good at our own expense? Do we pray for others, not only their spiritual well-being, but also their general life and their specifically their physical needs? Do we praise God for other believers who walk in the truth? Do we tell them that? Do we praise God for them? Do we tell them that that brings us great joy to see them living in a way that is pleasing to God? Or we just assume that they know it? Do we walk in the truth? Can others say of us that we see them walking in the truth and it brings joy to their lives? Do we testify of brothers, other believers' faithfulness? Do others testify about our faithfulness? Do we provide for traveling missionaries or missionaries that our church supports, missionaries that may come and speak to us? Do we recognize that missionaries who go on a mission on behalf of Jesus? Do we support and become fellow workers with these missionaries? We have an opportunity in a few days to be able to receive some missionaries, both local and one of our own membership that is going to be serving in Ivory Coast. So I would encourage you to come this Sunday and hear Joan and Jim Lash and Angelo Dionisio. Jim and Joan serve with International Students Incorporated, a ministry in the United States, and particularly this local chapter, reaching out to college students who are from overseas and be willing to have them in your homes and visit with them. They're going to be explaining that ministry and how we can become involved. Now, Angelo has done two short-term missions trips over of a year to Ivory Coast. Now he's going back as a full-time missionary for an extended period of time. And he will be sharing his work there and the funds that he'll need and the process that he needs to go through. So I would hope that we would be willing to receive them and help them. Now, hopefully, we do not love being the first among our congregation and try to take over and be in charge and love to be in front and tell everyone else what to do. And that we do not recite or say wicked words against our leadership, and that we do not unjustly accuse our leaders with wicked words, and that we receive missionaries, and hopefully that none of us will go out and either not come Sunday or encourage others not to come, saying it's not worth the time. It's not Pastor Tim. It's not one of the other elders teaching. So it's a good time to have a picnic, go up to the woods, and enjoy a day off from church. And obviously, I don't think anyone in this room has the ability to put any of us out of the church, so that probably won't apply to us specifically. Do we imitate what is evil, or do we imitate what is good? Do we receive a testimony concerning our lives from other believers, from the truth, from the church, that we have a good testimony of walking in the truth? Do we pass three moral tests? Do we walk in the truth? Do we love other believers? And do we practice goodness in our life? Are we willing to greet other people? Or are we going to sit in the corner and ignore everybody else? Hopefully we are willing to especially greet new individuals to our services. Do we desire to see other believers and edify and encourage them? And I say, hey, there's 21 applications. How can I do all this all at once? Well, it's probably pretty difficult. But hopefully God has convicted you of one or two or three things that we can put to practice this week so that our lives would be in line with his word. And I can't tell you what those things are for you, but hopefully God has been making that impression on you, on us, that we can live in a life that is worthy of him.